Since its foundation in 1913, Vauxhall has been committed to building a sustainable future through the manufacturing of long-lasting kitchen and textile care appliances and responsible carbon-neutral production. It means the Swiss firm is well-placed to tackle the topic of timelessness in design. And that's exactly what it will do across three special episodes of Monocle on Design. Recorded at Milan Design Week and premiering on Wednesday, 15th of May, we'll hear from a panel of designers, including David Tullstrup, Lisa Demetrius, and Enrique Frost.
It's always with the human person and the human being in focus. So if I do something that's in harmony and balance for people, then I believe that it will last longer.
So tune in for some essential discussion on ensuring quality and longevity are imbued in our homes and workplace with Vauxhall.
This is Monocle on Design Extra. It's a short show to accompany our weekly programme where we discuss everything from architecture and craft to furniture and fashion. I'm Maylie Evans. Today we head to the Museum of Brands, an independent organisation in London that has collected over 250 years of brand packaging and advertising history. Their current exhibition showcases refillable, returnable, and repurposed packaging, using current and historical examples to consider how consumers and designers can make this aspect of everyday life more sustainable. Monocle's Lucrezia Motta went along and sent us this report.
The Museum of Brands turned to its archives to understand what makes good reusable packaging. As the conversation continues between individuals and companies in the fight against climate change, the museum's current display retraces the history of sustainable packaging and consumer habits throughout the years, and what lessons we could benefit from today. Curator Alice Kane.
The idea for the project really came from the University of Sheffield. They've been doing a project called Many Happy Returns. It's with the Grantham Centre for Sustainability. And they approached us looking specifically for historic items. So looking at the history of sustainable packaging, but also some of the messaging to do with packaging and packaging design. We've got a very large collection here. There's 12,000 objects on display, dating from like early Victorian right up to the present day. So we were able to really dive in and try to find very key examples that they were looking for in terms of historical material.
Looking through these archives, Kane found herself intrigued by the messaging around sustainability in packaging, which although might seem like a recent subject, has a much older history and a fascinating evolution.
We spent a lot of time thinking about bottles and how bottles previously had been collected, cleaned, refilled, these circulatory systems that later on also then had a deposit attached to them. The messaging to tell consumers, there's a deposit here of 2 pence, you can get that money back. It's encouraging people to participate in these systems and not just throw something away. We looked at that shift throughout the 1950s, milk bottle return as well, very, very popular. And then suddenly something happens. Things start to change. The messaging on the packaging starts to change when the materials change. So the shift to plastic, there's no longer a need for companies to be responsible for refilling, reusing their materials. They can just dispose of it, and it becomes the responsibility of the consumer to have to throw their bottles away responsibly. So you start to see less of the deposits and more of no return, no deposit on the bottle. That shift in messaging really is clear in the labelling. And then in the 1980s, you start to see this little campaign stick man with a litter bin telling you to throw it away responsibly. So again, there's another message going on here. People are just throwing these things away. People are really learning the environmental consequences slowly but surely. And then you've got another message that now the consumer is the one that's responsible. and not the company. So you can see all that reflected in the design.
The display includes clever designs and catchy slogans of the past that inspire consumers to think of new ways to interact with our everyday objects. From reusable jars dating back to wartime Britain to returnable milk bottles from the 1960s, it's the small details that make a design easy to use over and over.
There was a few very interesting sort of material design things that we noticed that were going on. Ribs or ridges on a bottle where, for bottle return, where bottles are touched the most. German bottle recycling, but also reuse is very, very big still. And we have a case study of that. But you can see on their pearl bottles, they call them, exactly where they're going to be touched. So the ridges, because of the higher use, are there to maintain the life of the product longer, the life of the bottle longer. In some of the Victorian designs, using sort of earthenware jugs, again, the ridges, but also areas that were lifted or different patterned areas. This was actually to tell people that there might be a corrosive substance in them. We've got a bottle that would have been refilled for Domestos, big like earthenware jug, and that has raised areas on it to tell anyone that was possibly, you know, hard of seeing that actually this was a dangerous chemical.
Kane also made some surprising discoveries, including designs that are just too beautiful to actually be sustainable.
Some companies are thinking about making things slightly less desirable. There's Haagen-Dazs pot. This was designed to be refillable as part of a scheme. But the pot is so beautiful. It's an aluminium pot, but with like the logo for Haagen-Dazs. And actually, people just wanted to keep the object rather than have it entering into like a circular system. And that proves to be difficult. So in fact, things being reusable actually need to be more practical.
These glass containers and metal cans can generate reactions due to their appearance, but also because of the memories and feelings they can provoke.
In our museum, we've noticed that with our visitors all of the time, this extremely strong sense of being connected to these products, but these brands, the adverts, the jingles, but that's something that you threw away and you never thought you would see it again. And then suddenly, here it is, in a museum case, looking back at you. And it's the most extraordinary experience for a lot of people. They do get very emotional about it. That is fascinating. And that's one of the things that I think that brands really need to think about in terms of their sustainability and in terms of what they can do to produce something that suddenly, it innately has an impact on us. Our lives are tied up within these objects.
Kane's hope is that this display will foster conversation and reflection on what it means to make a sustainable product and be a sustainable consumer, something we might be closer to than we think.
We also really wanted people to realise is that they do things a lot of the time anyway. You know, we do reuse things, we repurpose things. We might have an old ice cream tub and we might decide to refill it with something else, or an old jar and we put something in it. We are doing this kind of stuff all the time within our own behaviours. It's just when we suddenly recognise it and we have it pointed out to us and then it can become bigger, we're not actually changing the things that we do. It's just identifying it. And it's really the responsibility of, you know, of large organisations to enable us to do these things that we already can do and to do them better.
The Reuse, Refill, Rethink display is on at the Museum of Brands until the 15th of May, 2024. From Monocle in London, I'm Lucrezia Motta.
Thanks, Lucrezia. That's all for this week, but if you're eager for more design stories, then listen to our main programme, Monocle on Design, airing on Tuesdays at 8 p.m. London time. Or if you prefer print, then you can pick up a copy of Monocle magazine. It's available on all good newsstands now. Today's episode was produced by me, Maylie Evans, with editing help from Jack Jewers. Thank you very much for listening.